Hey guys, welcome to episode 195 of The Single Mom's Journey. Thanks for dropping by. Hey guys, I cannot believe it is the third week of January. Like, the time has flown by. You know how they say, like, as you get older, time seems to go faster? And I feel that it is so true, because I can't believe that January is almost over already. But like I alluded to last week's podcast, that 10 years ago, around this time, I was in turmoil. I was in emotional and physical turmoil because I was actually in the process of getting my divorce started. Like, about this time, I was probably just finishing meeting up with attorneys, and I was deciding on which one I was going to go with, and trying to decide, like, when I was going to have papers served to my then husband. But it was like a mental buildup, like a mental buildup for me, and getting, like I said, the evidence that I needed and getting all my ducks in a row. But this week I wanted to talk about, like, my relationship with him, like why I was initially attracted to him and how we began. We actually met at a bar. This is what he likes to say. We did meet in a bar, technically, but if he did not know one of my good friends, I would not have spoken to him. My friend was married, and he had brought three of his friends, and my ex-husband was one of them. And so we all kind of hung out together at this bar. We danced a little, we drank a little, and then he asked me for a date that evening. And so that's how our relationship began. And because I trusted my friend, I was like, okay, you have good judgment. This must be a good guy. And so I started dating him, and, you know, it just took off from there. I was actually his first ever girlfriend and his first long-term relationship. He had gone out with some people, but he had never been in a long-term relationship or had anyone classified as a girlfriend. You know what I'm saying? And so that was a new thing for him. And what attracted me to him was that his parents were still married. His grandparents were still married. Even though there were some people in his family that were divorced and whatnot, the fact that his parents, his example, were still married and that his grandparents were still married, that was like a thumbs up for me, because I'm like, oh, so he knows what a good relationship looks like. And so for me, that was a plus. And, you know, later on, I realized that, you know, just because you've had a good example doesn't mean you're going to go the same way, because we each choose how we're going to be as people. You know, people choose how they want to be. People have their own thoughts. They're independent. You're not cookie cutters of your parents. You're not going to do exactly what they do. And you're not going to come at relationships the same way that the people in your life do. They're a good measure, but you have a choice to go the same way or a different direction. And, you know, that's what ended up happening. And, you know, he went a different direction. And what's interesting to me is that I think that the traits that I possessed that attracted him to me, because he was in the military, guys. He was in the military, and he was on active duty when I met him. So he was spending a lot of time doing workups to leave and going for deployment. So he was constantly home and not home, home and not home, home and not home. And for somebody who's not used to that kind of lifestyle, it's hard on a relationship. It's hard. But I was a military brat. I grew up a Navy brat. My dad was active duty. He went on how many deployments? So I knew the lifestyle, and I always lived near a military base. And so I was used to seeing sailors and Marines come and go in the community, because my family was very active in the church at the base that we attended. You know, there was a base church. We always attended at the base church. And so we would see people come and go when they were deployed and when they would come home and stuff. I even spent some time, my very first job was on the military base. I worked at a McDonald's on this specific military base, and it was great because you would see these young men and women come in, and they would be like, you know, because McDonald's was like home to them. That was a taste of home, even though they were hundreds, thousands, possibly miles away from home. And so McDonald's was always like a safe place because, you know, a hamburger in San Diego is the same as a hamburger in New York. You know what I mean? It was the same thing. So we would always have these smiling young faces coming to McDonald's. And so we would notice when people were gone on deployment and when they would come home. Anyway, I digress. So I grew up in a military family. And so I grew up knowing that lifestyle. And so he knew that. And so he realized that I wouldn't be totally thrown off when he would have to go for like 2 days or 3 days or a week or 2 weeks, because it was like, okay, that's okay. Because I grew up to be an independent person. I was not somebody who needed him beside me every single day. And I was somebody who spoke my mind. And so in that period of it, our relationship, that fit, because he would come and go and come and go. And I would just handle things when he was gone. And then when he was home, he took the reins. And so that was fine for our relationship. But once further down, after we had kids and he had left the military, he was home all the time. So those traits that had initially attracted him to me, my independence, me being able to do my own thing, speaking my mind, those didn't jive with the person he became when he stayed home and when we had a family, and how I became focused on my kids and not on him. Because looking back now, I see that I was always the person who took care of the kids, like 95% of the time, guys, 95% of the time. He would help, but very minimally. Like if we were going to go out on a trip, I would be the one who would be washing all the clothes, everybody's clothes, and then he would just pack up his stuff and then he would be ready to go. I was getting snacks, packing, you know, getting each of the kids' stuff, packing their stuff, packing up the pack and play, packing up, you know, all the things that we needed, you know, the bottles, the formula, the food and the jars, everything, and organizing everything and then packing it in the car. And then, granted, he drove because he always liked to drive. He didn't like the way I drove. So he would always be driving, but I would be the person taking care of the kids and myself. So it wasn't really a vacation because I was taking care of everything, like, you know, making sure they went to sleep, making sure they did everything while we were gone. And so it wasn't really a vacation for me because I was doing everything that I was doing at home. But that's a parenting thing, I realized, but he didn't pitch in, really. So he just had to take care of himself, and that was it. And then at the time, I didn't realize that was actually happening. Like, I didn't realize that. But then looking back, I see it. Like, I think my sisters saw it. They saw how much I was doing and how little he was doing, but they never said anything because they were just like, well, that's how their marriage works kind of thing. But now looking back, I realize that was the case. And I should have been clued in on it because there were a couple examples that really stand out in my mind that he could not handle things on his own. Because there was one example when I first had my daughter. She was, you know, my first child. And I had been invited to lunch with a girlfriend, and like I left, and then like, you know, he had to take care of her, and I left, and then, you know, I was still driving because I stopped to get gas, and I was driving to my friend's, and I wasn't gone maybe 15 minutes, and he calls me on my cell phone and says, I can't get her to stop crying. You need to come back. You need to come back. And I was like thinking, what the heck? I just left. But I went back and, you know, I called my friend and I said, I can't make it. And I went back and, you know, that was that. And the second example was when I was actually having a garage sale, guys. A garage sale. So, of course, you know, when you have a garage sale, you prepare the previous day, you want to label everything, and you want to get everything out on your driveway, you know, first thing in the morning, you know, when it's still kind of dark, because you know people are going to, right at first light, people are going to be dropping by your house, dropping by your driveway. And that's when we had both kids at the time, and my daughter was maybe probably 3 or 4, my son was maybe 1 or 2. But it turns out they were both sick that morning. And he, like, I had been like outside, like maybe an hour, like for the garage sale, you know. And he comes down, he's like, "When are you gonna be finished? These kids are sick." And I like looked at him and I'm like, "I'll be finished in a while." You know, like he couldn't handle both kids being sick. I'm like, "But why can't you take care of them while I'm out here maybe 2 or 3 hours? Like, seriously?" Like in my head, I was thinking that, and I was like, I'll come in when I'm finished. But he couldn't handle it. I was like, "Dude, they're your kids. I mean, comfort them. They're sick. All they really want to do is cuddle. And if they have to, you know, get physically ill, take them to the toilet. I mean, or put a garbage bag in front of them, like a trash can in front of them, so they could just go in a, you know, in a pail. It's not that hard." But he yelled at me. I was just like, what is happening here? I can't even have a garage sale. Like, you can't help on kids for 3 hours. Those are the two examples, like when the kids were little, that I should have like seen it, that my rose-colored glasses should have been removed. But I had them on for a few more years after that. But I was like, "Dang, are you kidding me?" You know, but like I said, when you look back and it's like, "Oh yeah, I should have, darn it, I should have seen that." But you know, that light bulb moment in your relationship when realizing that it's over, it happens. It comes when it's supposed to come, you know, and that's what happened for me. That light bulb moment, like I said, January 1st, 2012, it happened for me. That boom, this is my exit point. I have to start exiting soon and real soon. And you know, it actually did happen soon after, you know, 10 years ago about this time. He actually finally got the paper served to him the week of Valentine's Day. Sadly. Yes, he got served the papers Valentine's week. We celebrated Valentine's the weekend prior to Valentine's, and he took me out to dinner on a coupon. So that was fun. Yeah, that was a coupon dinner. But it was an actual date, so I you know, I went and I ate. And, you know, I enjoyed my food, but yeah, I was on a coupon. And yeah. I just laughed because I remember looking back. I mean, it sounds so ridiculous now that I think about it, but at the time I was like, "Okay, well, I'm just gonna enjoy it. You know, this is gonna be the last Valentine's we have together." Like I knew it was coming. I knew those papers were gonna be delivered that week. But yeah, that was our last date before the end. But yeah, so for those of you who are going through the process, like, when was your light bulb moment? Did it happen sooner than you thought it was going to happen? Did it come to you like surprisingly out to you? Like you weren't expecting something to happen, or were you thinking, "Okay, he hasn't crossed the line, he hasn't crossed the line, he hasn't crossed the line." And then it happened. You know what I mean? Was it like it was working its way to that, or did something strike you out of the blue when you didn't, like, out of the blue, you weren't expecting it? Because sometimes that happens to people when something in their marriage happens and they're just like, "What the heck?" And they're like, "Nope, this is it," kind of thing. Because for me, it was a gradual movement to the line that I had drawn in the sand, and it eventually happened. But yeah, anyway, that's it for this week, guys. I mean, I have rambled on, but yeah, like I said, the traits that attracted him to me suddenly became something he could not handle. And I think that's what I think, because he's never told me, guys, he's never told me the reasons why his behavior changed. But I think it's because of this, that the traits that I have suddenly did not jive with who he was as a person. And because I was too independent, I wasn't, I didn't need him to live. Do you know what I mean? I didn't need him. I was too independent. Let's just put it that way. And see, that's the thing. Some people need that in a relationship. They need to have somebody who needs them. I get it. And I just wasn't that. And it's unfortunate, but you have to be yourself. You shouldn't make yourself small in order for somebody else to feel like they're worth something. Because while you're making them feel big and strong and whatever, you're making yourself small. And that just does not jive with me. People shouldn't have to make themselves small for others to feel important. Anyway, guys, again, I've rambled too long, but I hope you guys do come back next week for more stories of 10 years ago. Again, thanks for coming in, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.